President George Bush spent much of this week promoting his budget, best known for its across-the-board tax cut package. But the nearly $2 trillion spending plan is also marked by what the White House calls a return to fiscal discipline. Some of that fiscal discipline has caught business and industry leaders by surprise. For instance, Mr. Bush is asking Congress to slash funding for taxpayer-subsidized loan programs, such as the U.S. Export-Import Bank. The bank is little known outside Washington, but to its critics, it's a classic example of corporate welfare. NPR's Peter Kenyon reports.
For an entity that's been around for 67 years, the Export-Import Bank is largely anonymous outside international trade circles. Originally designed to spur trade with the Soviet Union, the bank was used extensively after World War II to help U.S. companies participate in the rebuilding of Europe. Today, the bank makes direct loans or provides loan guarantees to firms trying to crack into foreign markets. Supporters say it's a valuable tool for providing export-related jobs here at home. But to critics of the bank, such as Ian Vasquez, the response to the president's 25% funding cut is the same as the punchline for the old joke, what do you call 100 lawyers at the bottom of the sea?
I think it's a good start.
Vasquez runs the Project on Global Economic Liberty for the Cato Institute. Cato scholars promote libertarian principles, and to Vasquez, the idea that U.S. taxpayers are subsidizing the foreign marketing efforts of Fortune 500 corporations is mind-boggling.
The Ex-Im Bank is not a bank. It's a political institution that favors, for the most part, rich corporations that would otherwise have no problem getting funding on their own. And so, in the best of cases, the Ex-Im Bank merely displaces private sector lending. And in the worst of cases, it provides financing for projects that otherwise would not and should not be taking place, but it puts that burden on U.S. taxpayers.
The U.S. Chamber of Commerce headquarters sits just across Lafayette Park from the White House, and there are few people more delighted with their new neighbors than the chamber's business lobbyists. So when the cut to the Export-Import Bank was proposed, the chamber didn't respond with the howls of outrage that might have been heard had Bill Clinton still been president. Instead, Vice President for Congressional Affairs Bill Morley carefully praised the administration's commitment to holding down government spending, even while he quietly suggested that the president can expect a fight over this cut.
So I think it's important to recognize that that we have to be fiscally responsible. Having said that, I think it's you have to take a look at programs and their costs and benefits. We believe that the Ex-Im Bank and other programs have proven their value, and we believe that at the end of the day that they will receive the support from the administration, they will receive the support from Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats in a nonpartisan way that they have traditionally received.
The Export-Import Bank's website states its mission is to create jobs through exports. That argument has played well on Capitol Hill through the years, and Morley's confident that this 25% cut won't survive the appropriations process.
And we will come up with the right number on Export-Import Bank and on other programs because they are so fundamentally important to jobs in the high-tech community, to jobs in the agricultural community, and jobs in small business, who really rely on Ex-Im Bank and other export promotion programs.
The Cato Institute's Ian Vasquez calls the jobs argument nonsense. He says in a full employment economy, the bank merely shifts resources around within the U.S. economy and shifts them toward large, wealthy corporations, such as General Electric, McDonnell Douglas, and Westinghouse. He says it's no coincidence that the Ex-Im Bank is sometimes called the Boeing Bank.
Boeing, of course, has been one of the greatest beneficiaries of the Ex-Im Bank over the years. So much of Ex-Im Bank's finances have gone to Boeing and, in fact, to Fortune 500 companies, which isn't just another indicator that the bank is really a political institution that benefits the well-connected in Washington.
President Bush isn't the first to take on the Export-Import Bank, but he would be the first to succeed. In 1953, President Eisenhower tried to all but eliminate funding for the bank, only to see Congress intervene to save the program. This year, the business lobby and its allies in Congress will once again find themselves doing battle with the Republican administration over taxpayer subsidies to huge corporations. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, The Capitol.